I want to welcome everybody to the second part of the three-part series to help you market your coaching business. I'm Terry Pappy, and I'm your host, so to speak, and I'm here to offer you some insights that will help develop a new understanding, hopefully, that will give you some excitement around marketing your work and re-engaging the clients you have, as well as helping you develop new ways to bring in new clients. So this being part two, called Discover Your Client, we are going to take the work done in part one, which I'm not sure how many of you have actually listened to that recording or were on that call. You can actually go back into the ILCT website, and it's located under Resources, Audio, and you can find all three recordings will eventually be there when we're done the series. But the first one, which was Discover Your Why, is actually up there now. So I highly recommend you listen to that because it'll make everything make that much more sense as we're working through this together. That first session was really looking at Discovering Your Why and Simon Sinek's Golden Circle, which is putting passion back into the story of why you do what you do. So I'm not going to go over that because we do have the recording. But this particular session is going to be focusing on discovering your client, which is really where you can start doing tactical work. But you have to do strategic thinking first to really understand who your client is so you know where to go and do the tactics to bring them in, right? So what we're going to do today is we're going to take the work done in part one, Discover Your Why, and develop a profile of your ideal client. This conversation will provide insight into creative exploration of not only who you want to serve, but what their biggest pain points are and what their world is like. Because the more you can understand who your client is, who your prospective client is, and who you really want to work with, the better it's going to be for you and easier it's going to be for you to actually create tactics that resonate with them. And that's really the key. So you may think they want one thing when really they want something completely different. So you'll see as we go through and talk about these particular topics that there are a lot of different ways you can come at this, right? So you can basically look at what you're doing and make some assumptions. You can also base it on what client feedback you're getting. So as you're working with clients, you're really going to start hearing things that they're asking for, and you'll be able to adjust your marketing message and where you're going for these people and certain campaigns that you do that speak specifically to that problem. Okay? So we're going to develop a continuity stream that molds perfectly with your why so that your work and who you serve gives you the greatest satisfaction and joy, right? That's why we're doing this work. So when you're in the zone doing what you love because you're connected to your why, clients will seek you out. And this is really cool because this is something that I've been really focusing on working in my own business as a marketer, as a communicator, is to help my clients be more of themselves. So as that comes out, it resonates with their audience more. Now, it may niche them more as well, but don't you want to work with people who really are excited about what you stand for and how you help and your approach? So that's what we really want to create. So coaching is driven by your client's vast variety of goals, which you use your coaching skills and experience to help them with accountability, support, brainstorming, all of the things we do as coaches. However, if you examine your why and consider your ideal client's beliefs or worldview and what they're really asking for, there may be a way for you to be a coach who focuses on a specific challenge and helps the clients facing that challenge. And that's kind of what I was just talking about regarding finding that specific niche on something in particular. So, for example, if you're a coach with, like, let's say you got 30 years of experience in sales working for multi-billion-dollar corporate giant, you've got some kick-ass experience, whether you were just a salesperson, you know, just been out there knocking on doors or making the calls, or whether you were the company's lead executive for sales and marketing, right? Let's say that's kind of your background. It would make sense that you, A, formed a solid opinion and approach about sales, and B, have accumulated enough experience knowledge and confidence to package that know-how into coachable support. So by working with people who want to be better at sales, or more specifically, better at sales in a corporate environment, all of a sudden your platform and marketing message becomes very clear. So before establishing your clear why and reverse engineering your marketing message, it may have sounded like this. I'm a coach for salespeople. My hourly rate is $300, and I work by phone or Skype. My website is salescoach.com. Versus when you tie it in with your why and you really understand your passion and who you want to work with, your message could be something like this. I believe in cultivating a person's innate talent for selling so they're freed up to achieve their biggest dreams for the work they do. Through exploring their passion around selling, I help them fall in love with the sales process and who they sell for so they can more joyfully achieve their financial goals faster and more powerfully. Because, you know, if you're in sales, you're very motivated by commission and beating out the other sales reps, right? So that's going to resonate with that underperforming, frustrated salesperson, because you're tying in your why with what they want. So remember, if you haven't listened to that, go back to listen to that first session, because that's where the why really ties into this portion of the training. You have to project what you believe, and then those who believe what you believe will knock your door down to work with you. So which sales coach do you want to work with, the first one or the second one? Well, I don't know about you guys, but I want to work with the second one because I'm engaged with exactly what he's saying, definitely he or she is saying, definitely excited about what they're doing, and they know my hot spots. They know what is motivating me, right? It's money. I want to beat my other sales reps. I want to make more money, and I want to do it as efficiently and easily as possible. Help me figure that out. So that's just an example of how tying your why in with really understanding who you're targeting and what you're doing to leverage your background, leverage your experience to bring that all together. So let's go ahead and spend some time developing what that is for you guys, because what I like to do is I like to leave a lot of time at the end of the session so I can work with you specifically on your client, and we're going to get to that after we go through this next part. So if you have the opportunity, I don't know how many of you are in the car or unable to take notes. That's why this is great that this is being recorded, because if you are tied up doing something, just focus on that and listen. Otherwise, if you're at your desk or if you're able to grab a notepad or a journal and write these things down, this is going to be really helpful because here are some things you can do. So there are four key items that, I mean, there's so many different ways you can come about your marketing message. And it's, you know, since I only have the limited time, we're just going to focus on some real key points to start the process of actually compiling this avatar, which is the profile of your ideal prospect, okay? And what we're going to do is I want you to think about these things, write them down, and then when you have time after this session or after you listen to the recording, really give it some thought and do some of your own brainstorming with each one of these key items, because it's really going to help you to flesh this out for yourself. And before you know it, your marketing messages are just going to fall right out because you're basically going to reverse engineer them. Okay? So let's go ahead and just focus on these four key items that I want you to think about when you're discovering your client. Now, this is whether you're just starting out or whether you've been in this, you know, for 10, 20 years and you really just want to start getting better quality clients. You can use it to actually refine your prospecting. So the first one is really identify, this sounds kind of basic, kind of straightforward, but it's who are you targeting? This is really about who that person is. So the more you can niche your audience, the better. And you can niche through the problem they have, not necessarily the service you have. I want to repeat that. You want to niche through the problem they have, not necessarily the service you have. So, for example, if you're a wellness coach, you can work with, let's say, women from 45 to 60 who have extra tummy weight that may be due to a hormonal imbalance or menopause. You can speak to them through their symptoms and curate your coaching and possibly collaborate support from like a bioidentical hormone specialist who can provide either additional coaching or other advice you can incorporate into a larger program that, let's say, goes into group coaching. So remember that your prospective coaching client wants out of their problem, not into your coaching practice. And when there's so many people out there who are really unaware that coaching is becoming much more commonplace and available, and that there are, obviously thanks to this wonderful school, there are a lot of great coaches being cultivated through training and experience, and they're bringing all this to bear, and it's going to become more and more the norm. So this is a great opportunity for you as a coach developing your coaching practice to refine the niche. Instead of casting the drift net and going after anybody who wants to be coached, you really want to bring it in close and be a specific, very targeted, niched coach. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be limiting the possibility of getting lots of people, right? So what we want is we want to make sure that you're focused so your messaging can be focused. So you'll be better off selling them what they want and then coaching to what they need. And this is something I learned not too long ago in regards to sales, especially with marketing messages, because a lot of people will, and this is like human condition, right? We problem solve in our own minds. We try to figure stuff out. We'll research it online and we'll like, how do I solve this problem? Well, I need a hammer. I got a nail. I want to hang a picture. I need a hammer. I've watched YouTube videos and I know this is what I need, right? So they get in their head, this is what they need. So they're going to be thinking, I need a hammer. When in fact, what they really need is something completely different. But because you're the expert, you know that, but you can't try to sell them a painting kit to repaint their room when really that's what they need instead of hanging the picture over that bad spot on the wall. So you have to speak to them through what they want, at least what's in their mind. And there's a psychology to it, right? So it's much easier for you to get them in the door, so to speak, to be salesy, to get them in the door by selling them what they want, or at least talking about it in the context of what they think they need. And then once you get them in, then you're actually delivering what they truly need. And I don't mean that to sound like, oh, it's a bait and switch. It's not like that at all. It's just there's some nuances in languaging when you're doing your messaging that allows you to make a connection with them by empathizing, by acknowledging their symptoms of what they're dealing with, which is all the more reason why it's important to niche your audience. So that's one of the first key items to think about when you're discovering your client. Who are you targeting and how can you actually niche your audience? Now, the second item is what problem of your ideal clients are you solving? As I mentioned in the prior one, it's all about really understanding what they're struggling with. What is their problem? They want out of their problem. Identifying exactly what that is, and it could be several things. Making sure that you're doing the appropriate brainstorming, thinking about like kind of putting yourself in their shoes. Like, what is their world like? What are they dealing with? What are they confronted with every day? What things are they aspiring to that they're really not accomplishing because of these blocks they have, whatever they may be, that coaching can help them work through? So identifying the problem of your ideal client is really key here. So when you look at your ideal client's world, what is it like? Make a list of what they're facing, what they're doing to solve the problem on their own, which is also really, really important because if people are trying to solve their own problem through, let's say, buying a self-help book, maybe starting meditation, or maybe they're just kind of hanging out with their friends and just kvetching about all the struggles that they're having. Or maybe they go see a therapist, or maybe they go on medication, or maybe they self-medicate and they sit at the bar a lot. Who knows? they're trying to solve their problem on their own. And if you see some of those patterns, or if you get insight into what they're trying to do to solve their own problem, you can actually work that into the content on your website, the messaging on your advertising campaign, the posts that you have in your blog. And there's a lot of ways that you can actually help them see that you understand their world and what they're trying to do to solve their problem. What toll is it taking on their happiness and their health trying to solve the problem on their own? So what symptoms are they exhibiting? We want you to paint a vivid, detailed picture of what they're dealing with. The more you step into their world from an objective perspective, the more you have the clarity to really see what they're facing. And, you know, as coaches, a lot of us have a very high degree of natural empathy. And it's easy for us to kind of like take that persona and really feel what our prospect would be feeling, dealing with the particular problems that we're there to solve or help them solve. And so believe me, their problem is way bigger to them than it is to you. And that's really a key thing to remember. The third thing is, now this is really important to understand, what is your ideal client trying to do to solve their problem on their own? So this kind of tags on to the last one. What language are they using to describe their problem? So you know, as we're learning in coaching, or as we have learned in coaching if you're a graduate, that we want to use our client's language, use the words that they're using. So there's synergy there. So there's connections there. So there's empathy there. The same goes for how you're actually marketing. So this is a great way to dig a layer or two deeper into their world to really understand their perceptions, their thought processes, and their attempts at resolving the problem. You know, it's easy to fall into the trap where we're like projecting what we think their problem is, but we're so way off. I fell into this trap so many times because even in my marketing business, I used to be so tactically focused that I addressed everything through tactics when really it was a totally different symptom that needed to be solved first before we actually even did that. So this is really interesting when you're looking at diagnosing and really understanding what their problems are and what language they're using. So why this is especially important to coaches is because the majority of people do not think coaching is a solution. This is really, really important. I'm going to repeat that. The majority of people do not think coaching is a solution. So we're still in the infancy of people having coaching as an option like they do have, you know, like they've got Target, Walmart, or Home Depot as an option to go get the right tool to fix their leaky faucet or hang that picture I was telling you about in the dining room, right? But it is getting more popular. It is becoming more commonplace, more widely accepted, more talked about, and more widely understood. Yet there's still going to be a very large part of the population that doesn't really understand it. So there has to be a degree of conversation around coaching, as well as not like, you know, I have to educate you on what coaching is, but when you approach your messaging and the way you talk about your practice through the symptoms and the conditions of what your ideal prospect is really dealing with, the more you're going to connect with them, and coaching almost becomes superfluous to the engagement because you're really there to provide them a solution. Not coaching, you're providing them a solution to their problem. And it's a whole different way to look at it, which really can free you up to write and create content that specifically addresses that, as opposed to, hey, look at me, I'm a great coach. Okay. Now, the final key item to think about when you're discovering your client is, what is the final outcome that you can deliver with confidence? So this is a big one. Remember, the client needs to understand that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not from an oncoming train. It's from the guidance, the support, the insight you can offer as their coach regarding the problem they're having. Often clients get hyper-focused on their problem, and they don't really think about what their life would be like with it solved. And I know that there are some coaching techniques where we actually walk a client through the what-if scenario, but how do you have that conversation when they're not a client yet? Remember that you need to sell them what they want and give them what they need through your coaching sessions. Be specific about the multiple outcomes you can deliver and tie them into the symptoms your client is experiencing as a byproduct of their problem. So, for example, if we use the earlier one I was talking about with the wellness coach, let's use a 58-year-old client with weight issues complicated by imbalanced hormones. She's complaining about feeling tired, having low libido, her memory sucks. She really doesn't go out as much as she used to because she just feels blah. You want to position your outcome as one that provides her the opposite or the solution to that. So the outcome you can provide is to help her feel better, have an improved outlook on her life, get out with her friends more, feel sexy, and enjoy taking better care of herself in a more deliberate fashion that she owns. And that's where coaching is so powerful because the client does the work. But who wouldn't want to buy that? Sometimes just being there for our clients as an objective support provides them more confidence that they can achieve their goals and feel better along the way. So we can be incredibly powerful coaches and work with our clients in such a way where we truly inspire them. We stand in that place of where they want to be, and we call them forward to it. But we can also almost do the same type of thing in our marketing content, whether we're writing articles or whether we're creating stories about what life could be like. There's a lot of different tactical ways you can actually go about doing this. So there's more and more layers of developing your ideal prospective client that, you know, is really way too much to go into on this call. But what you learned here with these critical components will give you more than half of what you need to craft a message and positioning statement that makes it crystal clear why you do the work you do and who you do it for. So I want to just recap the four key items to think about when you're discovering your client, just in case you fell behind on notes or what have you. So the first one is identifying who you're targeting, okay? And this is where I talked about niching your audience. The second one was about identifying what problem is your ideal client have that you're solving. So this is where we start to look at their world. What's it like? What is the real problem? What are they not being able to do? The third key item is, what is your ideal client trying to do to solve their problem on their own? Because remember, we always try to solve it on our own. We'll go on YouTube, we'll go surf the internet, we'll ask a friend, we'll talk to a different type of specialist, we'll go get a self-help book, whatever the case may be. We always try to attempt solving it first on our own, especially in this empowered communication world where technology is right at our fingertips and we can really get a lot of our answers right just by going online. In fact, I can't remember where it was. I don't know if I saw it on Facebook, but there was an article about millennial parents are turning to YouTube for parenting advice. I couldn't believe that when I read that. Well, I actually could believe it, but the millennial generation is such an interesting generation. And I think that there's a lot of things that we can take away from the behavior that comes from millennials. Anyway, I digress. The fourth item in that key list was, what is the final outcome that you can deliver with confidence? And this is where you talk about the solution as a reverse engineering to what their symptom is and their problem. So that way they see a complete picture. It's not just, you know, talking to them in their language and really understanding their world, but it's also about really presenting the outcome and also why you do it and how you do it, so that they go like, that's what I want. That's the person I want to work with. They know exactly how to fix my problem. Because you've been specific, you've niched your message, you know exactly who you're talking to, so you can talk to them like they're already your client. So those are the four items that will really get you off to a great start in developing a clearer understanding of who you want to work with, as opposed to just hanging your shingle out and saying, hey, I'm a coach, this is my hourly rate, and I do coaching sessions either in person or via Skype or phone. And it's going to really be so much more satisfying for you as you do your marketing, as you're creating content, because you're going to have such a greater connection with your avatar, which is a marketing term for your ideal prospect. And you could have several of them. If you're, depending on the type of, coaching expertise areas that you want to work in, like if you're a wellness coach, but you also work on a motivation or something with career, you know, you can have several different avatars or ideal client profiles that will apply to those different aspects of your coaching practice. It can make it a lot more fun, too. So at this point, we're about half an hour in, and I've really gotten through just kind of the bulk of what I wanted to talk about today. What I'd really like to do now is open it up to you. And sometimes there's greater learning through real-time examples. So I love to leave enough time to actually work with you on these four key items and helping you figure that out for your ideal client. So who would like to pick my brain regarding this topic?
Hi, this is Tammy. I think I have a lot of background noise. Can you talk about residual income opportunities?
And what do you mean specifically by residual income opportunities?
Something like a membership that you create the product or service ahead of time, and it's, maybe I'm using the wrong word with residual, but like an ongoing revenue stream.
Okay. Are you asking this for yourself, or what's your specific interest in this? I just want to have a little more context so I can help you specifically.
Yes, very sorry for the background noise. Very early information gathering stages for myself.
Okay. So tell me about your coaching practice.
Coaching practice, primarily around self-care for women, who have trouble basically putting themselves first based on their lifestyle.
Okay. So do you have active clients now?
Yes.
Okay. How did you obtain your current clients?
By referrals, word of mouth referrals.
Okay, great. I'm taking some notes while I'm listening. So when you say residual income or looking for additional revenue streams for your coaching practice, tell me more about that.
Well, I would like to at some point come up with a high-value product or service that they could benefit from that is turnkey. So it takes me out of the one-on-one coaching scenario or group coaching scenario, and it's something that they can have at their fingertips that I'm not. It's less time intensive for me as a coach, but still highly beneficial for them.
Okay. So what's your reasoning, and thank you for being patient with my questions, Tammy. What is your reason behind this? You know, when you say it takes me out of the one-on-one coaching scenario or group coaching scenario, is that something you dislike, or what is it about those two things that you want to have this residual income or this other source?
Yeah, great question. For a number of reasons. One, I think first and foremost, it gives them flexibility to grab it and use it when it's more convenient for them. Like if they can't commit to coaching based on the season of life that they're in, but they're interested, or if they can't sign up for a group coaching series when it starts, this is still something I can offer them. And secondly, for me, it's an opportunity for me to develop something creatively that I haven't done yet. So it's expanding my offerings.
Well, this is great because, thank you for answering that. This is great because with technology, we're able to do this. And many coaching practices do combine several different types of ways of engaging for their clients, which does offer, like you say, the flexibility to grab it and use it when it's more convenient to them. But I think it's kind of ironic when you're when you're trying to teach women about self-care who have trouble basically putting themselves first based on their lifestyle, and you're actually giving them something that will put off something that might have higher value, right? So we want you to take the value of one-on-one coaching or group coaching, which is high value because you're actually speaking with that person. You're addressing them in the moment. You're giving them the respect and attention of their time, of your time. And the potency and the value of that is incredible. And that's why coaching has the power that it does to really change lives and have huge impacts on people. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that you can't create other assets or other ways for them to achieve their goals that not only create scale for you, because obviously if we're coaches, we're paid by the hour, however our financial structure is, but it's requiring us to be there for them, as I was just saying. So it's almost like a paradox. So this is a great question. It's a great way for you to actually add that creativity to your business and expand your offerings. And yes, you can absolutely do that. There's a lot of different ways you can do that. So what I want to ask you now is, when you're looking at your ideal client, as we were talking today, and the challenges that they're having and the problem they're trying to solve, those are things that we need to talk about regarding creating these assets. Just like you're creating your marketing message, well, you're going to create an asset that's going to help them solve their problem or at least complement what you're doing so they can actually achieve their goals that much faster or more effectively. And so what I want to ask you is, tell me about that client. How would they want to, when you say they need flexibility or give them flexibility to grab it and use it when it's more convenient to them. So there's something about their environment, which is like a symptom, right, how we talked about today, that they're experiencing that they don't have time to sit down for an hour or to do that every other week call with you to forward those goals. Now, one of the caveats is that obviously coaching requires the client to do the work, so they're going to be doing the work. So whether they're doing it as part of one-to-one coaching with you or through one of your online products or your offerings, they're still going to have to do that. So tell me a little bit about what's really going on with your ideal client.
So the majority, not all, but the majority of my clients are military spouses. So they find themselves unexpectedly as the single parent, you know, through whether it's through a temporary assignment or a long deployment. They find themselves moving frequently. They find themselves taking and leaving positions for their own employment that they maybe weren't pursuing. They're leaving a great job, or they're taking a job that they're underemployed, or maybe they're finding themselves unemployed. So it's a real variety of challenges that come with the lifestyle as a military spouse.
Okay, so you're focused on mainly the military wives. You said women, right? Because there are men as well who have wives that are deployed.
Yeah, the majority of my clients are women, but yes, there's a small percentage of the population of spouses that are men. I do have male clients, they just don't happen to be military spouses.
Gotcha. Okay. So as you can see, by my asking that question, you can see how I'm trying to help you niche. Because you can address just one gender. You don't have to be address both. You can be that, I mean, that could be part of your specificity, right, is to choose a gender, even an age bracket, even a, you know, profession. So there's a lot of different ways you can niche. The more you can niche, the more specific you can be in your language. So, and thank you for telling me more specifically who this person is, because that's really helping me get a better picture of who you're dealing with. So these military spouses dealing with, you know, unexpectedly being a single parent, having the job challenges, you know, maybe having to move, all of these different things that come along with that type of a lifestyle. What is it about that lifestyle that is impacting their self-care?
It's a couple of things. One, it's the unpredictability of everything, like where they're going to live, you know, and all the things that come with setting up a household once you have moved. And so the unpredictability around everything. And secondly, they feel a great pride and passion to supporting their spouse and what they're doing. And so they just naturally put themselves second. And that's that came up for me as you were talking about those 4 points, you know, that when they take care of themselves, it doesn't mean that they're not supporting their service member any less. And so that's a real pride point, and it's a big piece of that, to answer your question, for them.
So as you're coaching them, what are some of the tactics? And believe me, I'm going somewhere with this to really help you, okay? So when you're doing your coaching with them, with this more general avatar, this general ideal prospect of this military spouse, how are you and what are some of the things that you're offering to them as ways to shift their ability to create better self-care or putting themselves first?
Well, I think when I'm coaching them, they've already made that decision for themselves, because that's a form of self-care, taking care of themselves. They're like, hey, I'm going to work with a coach. It's the folks that are having trouble coming to that decision, which is part of the reason, which may be misguided, that I want to develop that other option for them in a residual, here it is, grab it when it's right for you and when you can make that decision for yourself, when the stars are aligned in your lifestyle, whether it's a move or a deployment, and you feel like you realistically can practice some self-care. So when I'm coaching them, they've already kind of come to that decision, like, I'm going to do this. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does and it doesn't. What I like is how you teed it up with regarding identifying that audience, because I hear you coming back to really trying to identify a way to serve the folks that aren't quite at that coaching one-on-one decision or don't see that as a possibility, because there's a couple of different ways that we can go about doing this, right? So you can create these assets. Let's say it's a 90-day boot camp for military spouses to help you guys, you know, adjust to frequent moves and blah, 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 A, B, C, D, of all of these challenges that are unique to your pride in supporting your spouse in their service. Okay, so it's presented in such a way where it's like, here, we're going to make this really easy for you to improve your experience of what you're choosing to do lifestyle-wise, that is in the context of coaching, or at least from a resource that is there to help you and shore you up, but it's not something you have to commit to the mechanics of one-on-one coaching or group coaching. And you can provide this to them. So my challenge in having, like, let's say it's an online membership and you sell it for $500 and you create it once and it's out there and you know, people are signing up or they're not, or you're using it as a add-on product to a 90-day coaching program with you. Now, I do something similar in my business where I have a 90-day coaching program that's like a business accelerator, and it includes one-on-one sessions with me as well as on online membership site that gives them all kinds of self-work they can do. So my challenge to you is, if they don't have time or are ready to do the traditional what coaching commitment, how do you know, or what can you do to make the online version of that residual income product something that they are going to adopt? Because one of the biggest challenges with online courses is engagement. So have you thought that far into it?
No, that's a great point. Like I mentioned, I'm at the very early exploratory discovery stages of, you know, kind of looking at this whole opportunity. And I'm not sure it's an online course. You know, I'm not sure what the product or service would be. It just feels like a need that I could fill based on the clients that I'm not working with yet. So that's a great question. Probably some work I need to do around that to come up with the answers.
Yeah, and I'm glad that was helpful, because that is something that has always been a challenge for me in the online programs I've developed for not only my own business but for my clients. And so one of the things that we add that I make sure that they're doing is maintaining that high-touch relationship with their clients. They need to. They need to, you know, still coach from afar in a lot of ways, because when you do the drive-through self-serve, you know, online material, even if you're delivering it through email right to their inbox, it's still up to them to engage with it. It's still up to them to use it. And the entire spectrum of support that you're going to be building to help that client with their issues, when it comes from, you know, from that perspective of having something online, making sure that they're actually consuming it, engaging with it, not having problems. So there's a whole different level of engagement that you're still going to be participating in. So as you're developing whatever this product or offering is, think about it from their perspective. So if you're creating it because you're trying to help them get their solution in a more easy manner, that's great, because that can be worked into your marketing. It also can add to your product offering as a complementary or supplementary type of a value add that you can use as an incentive to grow client engagement. So, for example, if they only work for you or work with you for like 3 months, but you want to sign them up for a year-long engagement of getting XYZ delivered to their inbox every month, that helps them continue their progress through the program that you initially, like the boot camp, for example, then that's something that you can keep them as an active client, but they're paying maybe a lot less per month to have access to this material. So it's one of those things where you really need to think about not only what your ideal prospect or client is dealing with, but how are they going to want to consume that particular solution? And sometimes you can actually hang a lot on the way something is delivered. And that kind of goes back to the first session where I talked about your why and really understanding what your passion is around what you're doing and what you believe to be true about why you're doing what you're doing. Because if one of the whys that you have is that you believe military spouses should have access to as much support, guidance, coaching, tools, resources, friendship, community that they could possibly ever need as a military spouse to help them live a better lifestyle and provide for their family as well as support their spouse in service during their deployment, then that's a beautiful why. And the way you deliver that automatically just falls right out of that. That's why it's so critical to develop that why first. And so if that's the stand and that's what you believe to be true, everything that you're creating is going to be driving that. And having those types of products and offerings as well as the one-on-one, and you can charge a premium for your one-on-one. I know a coach who charges $80,000 for a year of working with him. $80,000 a year, because it's a premium package and it's a one-on-one and he has like two retreats a year. But then there's all this lesser stuff that can be offered as well, like online schools and blah, blah, blah. So there's so many different ways you could approach your one-on-one coaching value in comparison to something that you're creating that is creating scale. So any type of asset, you know, blog post, lead magnet like an ebook or a book that if you've written a book, and you can create programs, you can create a series of emails that get delivered to an inbox that people can do exercises or just read for inspiration, or you can shoot videos and have a private Facebook group where you're, you know, having subscription, people pay $50 a month to come in there and ask questions in the group setting. I mean, there's so many different tactical ways you can actually create value and provide your coaching expertise to people. But as long as you're starting with a very profound why, understanding the symptoms, and it sounds like you really do have a good grasp on what your ideal client is dealing with, I think that that could be a really beautiful way to build a practice, and how a lot of my clients actually have their coaching practices and their consultancies set up. You have to create scale, because when you're one person and you're delivering value yourself one-to-one, you can only do so many coaching hours a day. So unless you're to the point where you can charge $80,000 for a year and have 10 clients and be living high on the hog, you know, which that's an exception to the rule. Most of us are not at that level or not able to get to that level right away. Then it's something that you have to figure out by creating scale through your knowledge. And, you know, if you want to do something creative, if you want to have some fun and create, if you like creating content, if you like shooting video or whatever the tactical thing that you're into, this is a great way to do it. And it can be a beautiful complement to what you're trying to do as a one-on-one coach or a group coach. So was that helpful?
Yes, it was very helpful for me. I hope it's helpful for the other listeners as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And see, this is the thing. It's like I can't emphasize enough the importance of making your business about you. And when I say that, I mean not like, hey, look at me, I'm a great coach, I focus on working with military spouses and they love me because I'm awesome, you know, not that kind of make a business about you. You need to design your practice around what gives you your biggest fulfillment. And if you start coaching and you realize, well, geez, I'm only making $100 an hour or $100 a half hour, and that means in order for me to pay my bills, I'm going to have to do like 15 sessions a day. And, you know, and you start adding it up and you're like, holy crap, you know, there's no money in coaching, right? Well, that is so not the case, because it's creative ideas like you have where you can scale and create additional offerings and complement things and really look for ways to serve who you're most passionate about, using what I talked about today and what I talked about 2 weeks ago on the first session, where it's really identifying what is going on in their world, tying that in with what makes you excited, what makes you passionate about the work that you're doing, and then taking all that, and you'll be surprised at how many wonderful, inspired thoughts you'll have as far as things you can create. And here's the kicker. If you already have clients and you're already working with them, you've already got a pretty good idea of some of the common patterns in the struggles that they deal with. You've already shared quite a few on this call. Who's to say you can't actually go to them and use them as sort of like a focus group and say, hey, I'm thinking about creating some additional ways of coaching that maybe be delivered either through Facebook or through email or maybe an online course. What are some of the ways you would like to actually be coached that might be more of a virtual solution? Or what would make it easier for you? So go out there and ask them. Survey your existing clientele and see what they're really looking for. Now, a lot of them really don't know, but if you can actually listen the right way, just like we're trained as coaches to listen, you'll start hearing some things that will give you really cool ideas on how to deliver material that can really make a difference. And it might be a combination. It might be a hybrid of high-touch work as well as digital work that they do. So there's a lot of really cool creative things that you can do by just going out there and asking them, what would be like the easiest, coolest thing for you to deal with? Find out what's interesting to them. Maybe they need some creative resources themselves. You know, start doing some things that are using vision boards or, you know, mind mapping or, you know, storyboarding or some creative things like that. There's a lot of different things that you could do and that they could help you get ideas around, Tammy. So did you have anything else you wanted to ask, or was that good for you?
No, that's great. Thank you so much. It's funny you mentioned that.
You're very welcome.
I'm in the works of putting together my first vision board workshop for January. So we're
perfect.
Thinking the same.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Well, listen, you need to send me your stuff when you get it, because my niece is a military spouse and she's currently with her husband deployed over in Moldova, I believe. And everything you described, she's facing. And I would love to send your resources to her to give her some additional insight into how to deal with her lifestyle. And she has two little ones, so she could definitely benefit from it. So anyway, oh my gosh, look what time it is. So thank you everybody for being here. I'm going to go ahead and just wrap up. If you do have any questions or want to talk to me about anything regarding your business, like we did with Tammy tonight, please reach out to me. My email address is terry@better3.com. That's T-E-R-R-Y at better, B-E-T-T-E-R, the number 3.com. And just shoot me an email and let me know what you're dealing with. And if I can help you in any way, I'm more than happy to. And we'll just take it from there. So thank you all for being here tonight and participating. I hope that you can join us for the third part of the series, which is about discovering your relationship. And we'll talk about, on that call, we'll actually talk about how you can use your existing network to grow your coaching business. And you'll gain insight in how you can pull it all together so your focus isn't casting drift nets out into the world, like I said earlier, to get clients, but it's strategic, targeted, and sincere in your communications outreach, okay? All right, everybody, thanks a bunch. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time, hopefully.
Thank you, Terry.
All right, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you.